الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Reforming the deeds and the inner character deeds and inner character مولانا تانوي رحمة الله عليه ونور الله مرقده ونفعنا بعلومهم آمين has said the method of islah of reforming deeds and correcting the inner character is to go against the sentiments of the nafs that is the method to go against the sentiments of the nafs and to accustom the nafs to stern effort reforming deeds what is meant by that reforming deeds means reforming the known or the apparent deeds these are deeds that are performed by the outward limbs such as salat fasting zakah hajj etc and correcting the inner character refers to what refers to the deeds that are performed by man's heart not by the limbs anymore but by man's heart such as patience gratitude tawakkul humility etc Maulana Tanwi alayhi rahmah has said that whether it is the correction of the outward deeds or the correction of the inward character it doesn't matter the method is the same the method in either case is to oppose the feelings of the nafs to oppose the feelings of the nafs we must strongly act against the feeling or inclination for doing that grows in the heart if we continue to do it it will grow in the heart and we must accustom the nafs to stern effort and hard work so whether it is islah and correction of the outward deeds performed by the limbs or whether it is correction of the inner character it is one way which is to oppose the feelings of the nafs muqalafatun nafs muqalafatul hawa we must strongly act against the feeling or inclination of the nafs we must accustom the nafs to stern effort and hard work a glance of the shaykh people imagine that when they go to a man of Allah a waliullah or a shaykh hoping to reform themselves at his hands and swearing allegiance or bayat to him then a single glance from him does the magic some people think like that the shaykh cast a glance and my life changed we must know that there is no such shortcut to correct the nafs shortcut to correct the nafs you cannot hope that a man of Allah a waliullah should cast a glance on you and alter your nature or a revolution should come in your living rather you will have to do it yourself you will have to be brave make an effort and endure hard work the shaykh merely calls your attention to it that's what he does he calls your attention to it and shows you the way and the method so that it is relatively easy now for you to achieve reformation and islah he shows you the way becomes relatively easy now but you will have to do it yourself and it is futile to imagine that someone else will do your islah for you someone else will do it for you and take you to your destination if such a thing were possible then the prophets alayhi wassalatu wassalam would not have had to endure trouble while propagating deen and religion all they would have done was cast a glance on people, and lo, everyone would have become a Muslim. Allah has not made it in this way. Every man would have to be, would be given reward and punishment for his deeds, and he has to perform deeds himself, must do amal. Man should have courage, determination, and firm resolve to do deeds, no matter how much hardship he has to face for it, must have the courage. Hence, he also has to work hard to correct his deeds and his inner character. He has to fight and fight against the evil thoughts he gets, the wasawis, the waswasas. He has to fight against the evil thoughts he gets, and he has to make dua to Allah to enable him to endure the hardship. As-sa'yu minna wal itmam min Allah. And this chapter is so important, the essence of tasawwuf, the gist of tasawwuf. Maulana Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatum says, Maulana Dr. Abdul Hay Rahmatul Alay used to quote often, very often, a saying of Maulana Thanawi Rahmatul Alay, which in fact is the essence of tasawwuf and tariqa. Maulana Thanawi Alay Rahma has said, the little thing that is the gist of tasawwuf is that if one feels disinclined to do an act of obedience, he must fight the disinclination and resolutely perform the act of obedience. And if the nafs lags behind in keeping away from sin, then he must fight the lethargy, the laziness, and keep away from sin. Justice is how a relationship with Allah is created, and he progresses through it to higher levels, and his relationship subsists in this manner. This is deep. The little thing, Maulana is saying, it's the little thing that is the gist of tasawwuf. And tasawwuf doesn't lie in lectures and books and talks. Tasawwuf lies in experiencing and performing and actually doing. Maulana is saying the little thing that is the gist of tasawwuf is that if one feels disinclined to do an act of obedience, he doesn't want to do it, he's feeling kind of lazy to pray, he doesn't want to pray, he must fight the disinclination and resolutely perform the act of obedience. Resolutely perform the act of obedience. And if the nafs lags behind in keeping away from sin, when it comes to keeping away from sin, the nafs is lazy, then he must fight the lethargy, the laziness, and keep away from the sin. Maulana says, just this, keep this with you. Justice is how a relationship with Allah is created, and he progresses through it to higher levels, and his relationship subsists in this manner. And you know whom this is coming from? Maulana Taqi Usmani is saying, this is the conclusion of the mujaddid of tasawwuf and tariqa. Many scholars have said that Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani was the mujaddid of the century. He was the mujaddid, especially of tasawwuf and tariqa. Maulana Ashraf, this is his conclusion. A man who has gone through every stage and every road in this field, that all the ulama respect Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi. He concludes that the essence of tasawwuf is to repulse lethargy. For instance, if one feels disinclined to offer salat, and his heart convinces him to stay away from the masjid, his heart is telling him, you know what, pray at home, stay away from the masjid. Offer salat at home, or not offer it at all, then this can be countered only by being active and vigorous and going against that. That's the only way to counter that, by being active and vigorous. We must use the strength Allah has given us to combat lethargy and laziness. Vigor will remove laziness. If we fail to be alert and active, lethargy will have the better of us. And the more we submit to the laziness, the more inroads it will make in our lives. We may omit one duty today. It will get us to omit another tomorrow. We may submit to it and commit a sin. It will sooner cause us to commit more sins. But if we show determination and resist lethargy, resolving to do something or not to do something, then it will become weak day by day, the nafs and the laziness and the disobedience and disinclination. So the essence is to fight. When one feels disinclined to any act of obedience, the way is to fight that, and perform the act of obedience. And when it comes to staying away from sins and the nafs lags behind in keeping away, he must fight the laziness and keep away from the sin. And subhanallah, nafs is like a child. Nafs is like a child. Allama Busari Rahmatullah alayhi has said it very beautifully in Qasida Burda, speaking about the nafs. He says, وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُحْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرَّضَاءِ وَإِن تَفْتِمْهُ يَنْفَتِمْ. Qasida Burda. وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ. The nafs is like a tifl, like a child. In tuhmilhu, if you neglect this nafs and you indulge the nafs, shabba ala hubbi radha'i, the nafs will grow up with the love of sucking, getting milk from the breast. Wa in taftimhu, but if you do fitam and you wean the child away from the breast, it's now 2 years, and you wean the child away from the breast, yanfatim, the child will keep away if you wean him. Beautiful words of wisdom. Explaining some more, Mufti Taqi Usmani says, if a child is given milk and the habit is not discontinued, then he will grow up on milk. 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years, he still wants that milk, he still wants that breast. But if the habit is discontinued, you know what, the child, this discontinuation, it will cause some problems. The child will cry and make noise. There will be problems, but will finally surrender. However, if you give up and worry about the relative hardship in weaning the child off the breast and having to pass sleepless nights because of the crying of the child and because of the noise of the child, if you take that into consideration and you give up weaning, then the child will never cease to live on milk. The nafs is also like a child. The nafs is accustomed to sin, and disobedience. And the nafs finds pleasure in these things. It's with the nafs. It finds pleasure in these things. It keeps away from obedience. Nafs doesn't like obedience. It finds pleasure in these things, disobedience and sin. If the nafs, like a child, is not stopped and weaned away from sinning, then it will never give up its habit. And if it is prevented from those things, then there surely will be much difficulty in the beginning, like the child crying and noise and thing. There will be much difficulty in the beginning, but finally it will relent and give up its sinful ways. It only has to be conditioned to the new habit. Allama Busari Rahmatullah Alayhi has conveyed a convincing message in this Qasida-e Burda. And Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said the same thing. The essence of tasawwuf is that man must resist laziness and be submissive and give up his sinful ways. Give up the disinclination. Be submissive. Do the obedience. Fight against the laziness. Essence of tasawwuf is that man must resist laziness and be submissive and obedient and give up his sinful ways. Qasida Burda. One nafsu katrif. The nafs is like a child. In tuhmilhu. If you indulge that child and you are neglectful of that child and doesn't correct that child. Shabba ala hubbi radha'i. The child will grow up with the love of sucking. Wa in taftimhu yanfatim. But if you wean the child away, the child will keep away if you wean him. And courage is what is needed. Courage is great. Allah has created in man the quality of laziness called kasal. And also the other thing Allah has created is courage. Courage is a great, great thing. It can be compared to rubber. Courage is like rubber, which will stretch as much as we pull it. Courage is also like that. One can stretch it as much as he wills and take it to heights. The accomplishments of men in this world have courage behind them, whether the feat relates to worldly affairs or to religion. Even meaningless pursuits and sinful feats are accomplished through courage. The Niagara Falls. Mufti Taqi Usmani says, Damat barakatuh. The Niagara Falls in the US are counted among the wonders of the world. During my visit there, I was presented a booklet which traced its historical facts. The booklet recalled its wonders and feats of men at the falls and the expeditions on this river which falls down from a great height. The booklet also lists the names of men who have done something worthwhile at these falls. They sailed over it in rubber boats and fell down with the running water. Men competed with each other, and there were certain deaths too, as well as certain records. Many people also tied ropes across the Niagara Falls and did rope walking over it. Quite a few fell down during the exercise and their bodies crushed into pieces. The high speed of the rushing water making it impossible to recover traces of anyone. Some people did make it to the other end and created their records. Then one man boasted that while people have walked over the rope by themselves, he would walk with a man sitting on his shoulders. Hence, he made a blind man sit over him and rope walked to the other extreme to set a new world record. His name stands in the record books to this day. Now, can everyone do it? What to speak of the Niagara Falls? It is not possible for one to rope walk over a short distance. But when a man has courage, when a man was courageous and resolved to do it, he accomplished the feat. Courage is such a thing created by Allah, which is like rope, like rubber, sorry. Stretch it, will stretch. That it enables man, Muslim or non-Muslim, to accomplish exceptional feats. And Allah blesses his effort. Accordingly, this man walked over the rope to the other side and created a record. Courage can fight disobedience. If Allah blesses the courage of a disbeliever in this way, then surely Allah will bless the courage of a mu'min, a believer who works hard to submit to him and avert disobedience. Allah has blessed the quality of courage with exceptional power, so that great things can be achieved with firm resolve. What really happens is that man surrenders. What really happens with most of us, most people, is that man surrenders before cowardice and lethargy. He surrenders to the laziness. He surrenders to being a coward and cowardice. And then imagines that he is helpless. Me ajizu. He is helpless. But the Sharia tells us, you are not helpless before anything, because Quran says, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah does not charge a soul save to its capacity. Doesn't place a burden on a soul except that which it has the power to bear. Thus the tasks that a man is asked to do are within his ability. He only has to show courage. That is why Maulana Thanvi Rahmatul Alayh has concluded that the gist of tasawwuf is to courageously counter lethargy and show obedience and keep away from sin. One has to spend one's whole life doing it. And if there ever is a slip, he must courageously renew his effort. And this is how to start the relationship with Allah, to build it. A child learns to walk. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has said that we must study how a child learns to walk. The first time he tries it, he will take a step and stumble. If he were to give up hope at the first stumbling and decide that it was beyond him, then he would never learn to walk. But if he tries again, stumbles, tries again, steadies himself, then soon he will learn to walk by himself. Hence, we must move forward in this path courageously and not care if we stumble. But we should try again. Soon we shall be able to steady ourselves. It is through courage that man moves forward. But without courage, he can do nothing in the world. In fact, he will submit to laziness and submit to disobedience. Only courage enables him to do everything. An episode in the life of Hafiz Shirazi, Rahmatul Alayh. We have seen how people imagine that a single glance of a sheikh can alter a man's life. The same thing is said about Hafiz Shirazi. Now there is some truth to this statement. The glance of a sheikh. Some sheikhs have that power with one glance. But you have to understand the meaning of that also. The same thing is said about Hafiz Shirazi, Rahmatul Alayh. Hafiz Shirazi spent his early life in meaningless pursuit. His father had a sheikh. And the father wished that his son should visit him and visit the sheikh instead of knocking about and roaming about without aim. One day, it so happened the sheikh visited them, father and son. The son was unoccupied as ever, and his father summoned him. The son was a shair, the son was a poet. So when he came to them, the son recited in Persian, which means, those people who turn dust into gold with a single glance, in poetry form, in Persian. Those people who turn dust into gold with a single glance. He actually addressed the sheikh, pointing out to him that he turned dust into gold by casting a glance. Would that you cast a glance over me. Would that you cast a glance over me. The sheikh called out immediately in Persian, I have cast a glance. I have cast a glance. That was the turning point for Shirazi. Hafiz Shirazi, Rahmatul Alayh, turning point for him. The life of a vagabond was over. And Allah made him a man of high stations, Hafiz Shirazi. Anyway, we do find such cases among Sufis of the earlier times that they cast a glance and brought about revolutionary changes in lives of men. Yes, it did happen. But what is the reality of the sheikh's glance on the murid? There are many things that we should understand about it. The first thing is that a cast a glance is called tasarruf, tasarruf, change. And everyone is not able to do it. Not all the sheikhs can do it. Also, it is not a shortcoming in anyone who is not competent in tasarruf and he can do it. It's not a shortcoming, it's not a fault. If a sheikh or a wali is unable to employ tasarruf, then that is not a drawback. If he can cast a glance and cause a change, it's not a drawback. For if he has that ability, then indeed it is a blessing from Allah. True, ni'mat. Otherwise, if he doesn't have it, there's no defect. It's not, there's no defect. We have to understand this. But there are some kind of sheikhs today, some peers today. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum says, these days, a peer, a wali, is making a name for himself. Making a name for himself. Ma'adallah. He has written in a book, such peer. He has written in a book, a peer who cannot make his disciples offer salat in Baytullah in Makkah is not entitled to receive bayat. He should not even receive bayat. This is a misled idea. Rubbish. It has nothing to do with religion. Competence at tasarruf, that is true in the glance, or incompetence makes no difference. For even a transgressor and confirmed sinner may get the competence. And even a non-Muslim may be able to do it. This condition is not evidence of anyone's being close to Allah, so don't judge a sheikh by it. Nor is it proof of his being a God-fearing man. Absence of this condition is not a sign of deficiency, understand that. Competence at tasarruf is available to someone at some time, but lacking at other times. Fleeting effects. Further, the subject of tasarruf and casting the glance, causing change, senses a transient elevation in his nature. And this is the essence of it. Even when that glance is cast in the person, the subject, the one who receives this tasarruf, this glance, what happens with him is he senses a transient elevation in his nature. But it is not enduring. He feels uplifted. He feels high. But it is not enduring. He has to carry on from there on his own. That is the glance. Yes, he gets the glance. He senses a transient elevation and high in his nature. It is not enduring. He has to carry on from there on his own. Tasarruf does not bring in him a lifelong change. This condition may be compared to pushing a car. If the battery of a car fails to respond to the starter, then it is pushed forward into motion and it starts with a jerk. Thereafter, the car runs on its own. But if it has an engine fault or needs to be refueled, then it will not start on being pushed 1,000 times. It is the same thing with man. If he has the courage, he has some ability, he has the courage and the strength to walk the path of suluk and tariqah and obedience to Allah, then he will set in motion when a glance of a sheikh is cast on him. He will set in motion when a glance of a sheikh is cast on him, and a slight elevation in his nature will drive him forward, and he goes forward. However, if he has no strength within him, he has no strength within him whatsoever, no strength, then 1,000 glances will not do anything for him. He might feel a momentarily uplift, which will cool down shortly. It's going to cool down shortly. Nevertheless, the glance is not a lasting condition, and it is not available to everyone. And And when it is put and the person finds that elevation and he feels lifted and he's pushed like a car and he goes forward, if he has to continue on his own, it's just like a kickstart. And even if it gives benefit to someone, the next step after getting this glance from your sheikh is to be taken by the subject himself. He will have to strengthen it and he will have to carry on. So the real thing is to gather one's strength and one courage. That is why the Maulana has said, the method to correct deeds as well as inner conditions and character is to oppose, said Maulana Thani, which is the gist of the tasawwuf, whether it's deeds or whether it's inner character, is to oppose the sentiments of the nafs and accustom it to hard work, hard work. The more you accustom the nafs to hard work, the more it responds and you will get your work done, inshallah. As a result, the apparent deeds will be corrected and the unseen characters will also be reformed. Fight the laziness, the lethargy. Go against the disinclination towards disobedience. But you know, at the same time, there is a limit to good manners. The Maulana goes on to say, it is found in a hadith that if you have excused, and this is hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you have excused yourself from a beggar 3 times, but the beggar persists stubbornly, so that it is annoying, then there is no fear in scolding him. This discloses that there is also a limit. There is a limit to showing good manners. And a man is not bound to endure annoyance beyond that, from Maulana and Fasi Isa. And the Quran says about it, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. And as for the beggar, scold him not. If you have to say no to the beggar, excuse yourself politely, but do not scold him. However, if he continues to ask, excuse yourself a second time, and excuse yourself a third time, as the Rasul has allowed this in hadith. After that, if he pesters you, you are not obliged to speak mildly, and you are now allowed to scold him. It is not a violation of Quranic command, as the hadith tells us. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi tells us that this shows that there is a limit to being good-mannered to anyone. It is not that a good-mannered man should undergo agony and torment because of his nature, and the other man may go on harassing him without check. In fact, even if he has to respond with ill manners, after enduring up to a limit, then he may do so. Even if he has to respond with ill manners, after enduring up to a limit, then he may do so. Allah has set a limit to everything up to which it is praiseworthy and sought. But beyond that, man is not bound to observe it. Although man must try not to scold as far as possible, Maulana Masihullah Khan, one of the great caliphs of Maulana Tanwi from Jalalabad, Maulana Masihullah Khan, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has said that it is a sin to display anger unjustly, sin, while it is proper to show anger when necessary. However, one has to teach oneself not to scold anyone unjustly. So to practice that, Maulana Masihullah said, he must not show anger even when he is allowed to do that. A beginner must completely cease to be angry, justly or unjustly. Stop it. Control it. When he has sufficient control, there is no harm now in displaying anger when the occasion calls for it, for that is allowed and it is not contemptible. Of course, the limit till which a man may be good-mannered should be known. It is here that he makes a mistake. This is known only from keeping company of the religious elders, suhbat. When may one justly show anger and when not, it is not a mathematical formula which may be worked out. but it is learned only through experience gained in the company of the Mashayikh. One can never gain the ability to recognize the limit without the company of those who possess this ability. Kunuma Sadiqeen. When in their company, they must be observed. You have to observe the Mashayikh, how they behave. And continuous observation will grow the ability gradually. Observe how they behave, and continuous observation will grow the ability gradually. Maulana has also said, a hadith tells us, this is about practicing correct manners as we come to the end of the fourth sitting. A hadith tells us, if you hear that a mountain, said the Prophet ﷺ, if you hear that a mountain has moved on its place from one place to another, then you may confirm that. But do not confirm when you hear that someone has moved away from his manners and he has changed. Someone has moved away from his manners. Don't believe that. This hadith shows that inherent manners are not thrown away through practice, though they may be suppressed. And Fasi Isa. It is a well-known hadith that if anyone tells you that a certain mountain has shifted to another point, the northern ridge has gone down to the south, you may accept that statement. But if he says that a certain man has changed his inherent nature, then it should not be confirmed from the hadith. A mountain may move, but not anyone's inherent manners. There is a Persian proverb, Gul Muhammad, refers to the constitutional or inherent manners. They cannot change inherent manners. The Maulana has drawn a conclusion from the hadith. Understand the hadith well. Maulana Tanwi has drawn a conclusion from the hadith that through mystical exercises, the inherent manners cannot be exterminated. Of course, they may be suppressed or made feeble, but they can't be exterminated. In other words, the hadith rejects a person who says that he has thrown out his evil temper. His words should not be accepted because anger is not thrown out. However, mystical exercises, mujahada, and company of religious men may cause it to become weak and harmless. It conditions man to use this nature judiciously and show anger only when it is allowed. He does not become angry at the wrong time. So the purpose of quoting this hadith here is to give a line to those people who misquote the hadith and misrepresent the hadith. These people say a mountain may move, but not the manners of a man. He could never change. Then people give up hope of correcting themselves because they say, well, you know what, nobody can change. They give up hope of correcting themselves, saying that when manners cannot change, why should they try to reform them? They resign themselves then to their manners as they are. The Maulana has explained the correct meaning of this hadith. The inherent manners cannot change, but do weaken. When they weaken, they do not tempt a man to do evil. Therefore, this hadith does not say that a man must give up efforts to correct his manners. The end of the fourth sitting. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.